Live.
Welcome to episode 19 of the Sports Bible. I'm your co-host Michael.
I'm your other co-host Jackson. Not much to talk about today for Laurier Brantford news wise. Girls, next week is provincials, next Tuesday. We're gonna go up there and support. Not much going on for the Brantford news wise. I know the cross country team is back practicing every Mondays. Getting that off-season work in. I think not much. I don't know if you have any Brantford news.
No, that's really it. Yeah. Other than that whole, you know, masks are gone, right? So you don't have to wear masks to the gym. You just walk in and do your thing and then keep it moving. So,
So I think that covered that. We're going to jump right into I see we jump into the court, jump into the basketball, talk about a couple of good games this week, actually. We had a good game between Lakers and Raptors.
Yep.
It was, Westbrook, silencing the haters now with that shot. I don't know if you saw that. I don't know if you watched the game of highlights.
Yeah, I saw the highlights. Yeah.
That his foot was close. His foot was
It was tight.
Drake's reaction, I think, said it all. close game between the two. LeBron again still owns Toronto.
Chill.
He always will own Toronto.
Chill.
but it was a good overtime win for us, 137-133. I think this will give Russ his confidence back. I think this is what he needed. He needed that clutch shot to get his confidence back into his system, and hopefully back to the OKC, the Russell that we've been watching for years. Because at the end of the day, this man can still get buckets. Doesn't matter how he does it. He's ranked 33rd all time on the scoring list, over 23,000 points. So he knows how to score. It's just confidence. And I think that shot reinstilled his confidence in his system. But overall, it was a great game for us. We battled hard. Toronto battled hard. Scotty Barnes dropped a career high in points with 31. And I think career high in boards or assists, I want to say. But I don't know if you saw the post-game interview with him.
Kobe being
LeBron. Because they're watching Kobe.
I don't even think it was shade. I think it was just more of I was just more of a Kobe fan over LeBron. Like, nothing against LeBron, but I just watched and gravitated towards Kobe more. I think that's all that it was. People kind of blew it out of proportion.
You know what? He earned my respect from that. As a Kobe fan, he earned my respect from that. But yeah, I think just overall, I think this is a turning point, I think, for LA. Obviously, beating a good Raptors team, team that started off shaky throughout the season and now is, back to winning ways and in the playoff spot. But I think overall, this is just a turning point for LA. Currently, we're still sitting ninth, but I think with a big win, especially in Toronto, in a packed-out arena, because it's hard to win in Toronto. It's loud. The fans are probably one of the best fans in the NBA that I've seen. They're passionate. So to win in that arena is tough. And to do it in overtime is even tougher. So I think this is the turning point for LA. I still have us out in the first round. Doesn't matter who we go against. I still don't think we're built for the playoffs yet. And, with LeBron's last year in LA, with his son coming into the league in the next year or two, the downfall is going to begin next offseason. So, but yeah, I just think overall this is the turning point. What about you? What do you think about the Lakers in the next upcoming games?
I think, yeah, like you mentioned with the Raptors, it was a good win on their part, but I don't think it changes much overall. LeBron's still having to, you know, average 30 plus just for them to stay in the game. Westbrook over the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 games has picked up his performances, but a lot of it rides on LeBron, and, you know, he's 37, so I don't know how much longer he can do this. And then also you have to factor in the playoffs as well. Do you honestly think they'll make the playoffs?
I do. I think they'll. I don't think we'll see LeBron lose in the play-in tournament. I think mm-hmm. that's where we're going to end up, is somewhere between 10-7.
Mm-hmm.
I think LeBron, in games like that, I don't think he's going to let the team lose. But as I said, you know, I think we're going to be out first round. I think to Phoenix, I think we're just going to get the 8th spot, and Phoenix is going to just run through us.
Mm-hmm.
What about yourself? I think from recent episodes, I don't think you have us making the playoffs. Oh, actually, wait, no, you do, but out first round, I think.
Yeah. I think it's hard to say because, like you said, betting against LeBron James is pretty difficult to do. And, you know, those two playing games, right, because it'll be 9 versus 10, and then they'll fight for the 8th seed. Because right now they'd be playing the Pelicans, and then they'd play the winner of Denver Clippers. So I'd probably say that goes to Denver. So it's looking, I think they'll make the playoffs, but yeah, like you said, they'll lose in the first round. It's just knowing what Anthony Davis has gone through this season, I'm wondering if they're actually going to blow up the team next year, because can you really rely on Anthony Davis through the next stretch of LeBron's career?
No. I've been telling you this. I've been saying this. We traded so much for a guy who can't stay healthy, is inconsistent, not with his stat line, but in like him being on the court and when he's not on the court, and just staying healthy overall. Like, and we saw when he was in New Orleans, how he was injured all the time, and, you know, not being on the court was hurting the team. Obviously, it's hurting the team now in LA. He said something to, I forget who it was. He said something to, he was asked about the finals last year. Not the finals. He was asked about the first round against Phoenix. And he said something about, you know, if he was there, it would have been a different game. He said if he was healthy, Lakers would have beat Phoenix. And then Booker came back saying, like, pretty much not a chance. And I don't know. I think with our team last year, like, we had an all right team. I didn't think we had a championship team last year. Obviously, the Bucks and Phoenix did. But I don't know. I don't think it would have been a different – I think it would have been the same story. I think we would have been out. I think maybe we would have went to 7 instead of 6. But I don't think it would have changed if we had Davis last year in the playoffs, in the first round. I don't think just if he's here now or if he's not here, I don't think it makes a difference.
Yeah.
So what do you think last year? You think if we had Davis last year, you think we would have been same result?
Yes.
Just different game 7, game 6.
I think the series would have been a little longer. Just because Davis would have been able to bother DeAndre Ayton. And obviously, if Davis was playing his best, it would have been a much more balanced series. But the Phoenix Suns had a more balanced team. So I feel like their role players would outplay the Lakers' role players, which would give them the edge. But of course, we'll never know. It was just, I wanted to think about it. I wanted to see, like, if Anthony Davis is really worth it. Because I know a lot of Lakers fans think they should trade him. A lot of Lakers fans think you guys should wait and then just build a team around LeBron and AD properly. So I think next year will be interesting to see what they do, because clearly something's not working, but LeBron's not getting any younger. So you have to fix things immediately. You don't really have time to wait, right? So
you think, which team you think picks up AD? If he's on the trade block in the offseason, which team you think he fits the most in?
Ooh.
I have OKC just because they have picks. They have some. The team's pretty young. We get some assets back. And you compare it with Shai. But I don't know. I don't think it's really hard to fit in the teams, especially when they, now that they know that he's not healthy all the time.
Yeah, I think anyone taking him is a risk. It's hard. I don't even know. What do you think of him on the Raptors?
I was just going to ask that. I was going to say Toronto, but that means they'd have to give up.
Oh, probably
Siakam.
Yeah, maybe OG. I don't know. The Lakers aren't dumb. They'd probably ask for Scotty and like OG.
Probably, knowing us.
Yeah.
I don't see him. I don't see him going to Toronto.
Nah.
Very, very rare. Maybe Chicago. Yeah.
It is. I thought about Chicago too. Yeah, that's his hometown. But
yeah, it is his hometown. And I know he said he's going to go there
eventually. Yeah. But
they
would have to give up too much to get him.
Probably like a Patrick Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't think they keep their core. They might give up Vucevic.
In that. Maybe Lonzo too.
Nah. I think no way. I think they keep the trio. I think they keep Lonzo, Levine, and DeRozan. They give up Vucevic, maybe Patrick Williams and picks.
No, that's not enough. That's not enough. They'd have to take one of them.
No, for a guy for half, that's like you're getting Anthony Davis in like one leg. You ain't getting full Anthony Davis if you trust me. Trust me, I've dealt with this depression for the last 4 years with Anthony Davis. You ain't getting a fully healthy Anthony Davis in a trade.
This guy said depression.
It's tough being a Lakers fan. After that, you know, Disney World championship, you've done nothing. So. It's
yeah, and in LA, it's not looking too good. It's not looking. No. I mean, the Clippers, I think next year though, you know, with PG, Kawhi, Norman Powell, Reggie Jackson, Zubac, Covington, like Clippers next year are going to be a real problem. I think. Obviously, both their stars have to stay healthy.
Yeah.
But they might be better than you guys for a little bit if you guys don't fix up.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
It's going to be like that, you know, early 2010s era where
Yeah.
Horrible when you had Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan on the other side of LA. So I think in the offseason, it comes down to, I think OKC, maybe Chicago, maybe even Atlanta, because I know John Collins is on the trade block.
True. Yep.
He was up for the trade talks. You pair him with Trey. And you can get like maybe like a DeAndre Hunter. You can trade him to the Knicks, you know, get maybe Cam Reddish, maybe Julius Randle. Maybe
yeah, and RJ Barrett. We'll be talking. They'd have to give up quite a lot, I think. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Because it is, I do think it's a possibility that they do trade him or look for a big deal. But we'll see.
I think he's gone 100%. I think he's gone in the offseason. I think there's no way we're keeping him. Mm. Especially if he stays this year, then he's gone next year for sure. When LeBron leaves, that's when we'll start to rebuild.
But, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, besides LA, because we can talk for LA forever. Another close game that was a tight one. Oh, sorry, not a close game. Another team I want to talk about that I think is going under the radar is Minnesota. They have been flying lately. I think the 42-30, they're sitting ninth, though, in the West.
Minnesota, no, they're six now. They're six.
Six? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, finally, all that rebuilding stage is finally paying off. You know, Towns is playing like an all-star as he should be. Edwards had a good season. You know, Russell is just that piece that they needed. And their depth is playing well. But that big three is really coming in clutch for Minnesota. Towns dropped 60, franchise record. He was just 60 or 63, something like that. Franchise record in points for Minnesota. And, you know, it's exciting to see Minnesota and Memphis shine. Those are the two teams that had so much potential at the beginning of basically this year and last year and a couple years ago. And now we're seeing him shine. I think it's good for the league. And I'm hoping we get a Minnesota Memphis first round. I think that'd be a game seven. I think that goes, that could be like a Denver Utah series, where, you know, Towns goes off and you have Morant going off as well, and you got maybe a Morant Edwards series, Mitchell and Jamal Murray. Because I said this yesterday, I think, and even though he plays shooting guard small forward, kind of reminds me of John Morant in a way, just his slashing ability and the way he can get to the basket easily. He just has that ability, but it's tough because he's in Minnesota where he's overshined by Towns, and Memphis is all about Morant. So I think if that series happens, it goes to seven. And as I said, I think Memphis makes it the furthest. I think Memphis has a shot to even make the conference final. But we'll see. I think that West. Honestly, when the playoffs comes on, I'm probably gonna watch more of the West games than the East. I think the West just has so much skill power and star power. And it's so close, like from like sixth to like third, anything can happen in those things. And you have so much star power in there. You have Curry, you have LeBron, you have Ja, you have Towns, you have Mitchell, you have Jokic. The stars at the stars, and I think the East is boring. I think when LeBron left the East, everything.
Chill.
Don't even start, you know, with the Raptors. I get the Raptors are fun to watch. They're a fun team. They're a young team to watch now. But I think with, you know, they don't have that player who can bring in those television views like Kawhi did when he had, or DeRozan, or when he had Lowry and DeRozan. I just think, I don't know. I think the East is boring. I don't know if you agree, if you disagree. It seems like you disagree with that.
I heavily disagree with that statement. I think the East is just as fun this year because I really don't know like who's gonna win from the East. Because I wanted to talk about Boston as well, because they're right now the best team. They're playing the best since the All-Star break. I think they're 19-3 since the All-Star break. So
them in Minnesota, one of the
top. So they're sitting fourth, and they weren't even, I didn't even know if they were going to make the playoffs before. So they're going to be an interesting team in the playoffs. But if we stay on the topic of Minnesota, they're playing much better. You know, all your points that you mentioned about Ant and Kat, and D'Lo was kind of that missing piece they needed to balance things out. And then, you know, Patrick Beverly doing what he does. I really want to see that Memphis versus Minnesota playoff series, because I think it'll show us exactly what we want to see from the both two teams, if you get what I mean. Like, it'll show us if Memphis is actually serious, and it'll show us how far, you know, Minnesota can really go. I don't expect them to make a strong push, but I wouldn't be surprised, if you know what I mean, if they beat Memphis. It's one of those things. I don't really trust Denver if they don't have their full team. I know Jokic is amazing, but there was a report today that Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. may not make it back in time for their playoff rotation. So if that doesn't happen, I think they're out in the first round, just because Jokic can't do it every single game. And even if so, they're not making it to the West Conference Finals. So I would like to see Memphis make the Western Conference Finals. And do you think that the winner of the championship is coming from the West or the East?
Definitely coming from the West. I have the Warriors winning it this year.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's back. You got Draymond, you got Klay, you got Curry. Wiseman will be back soon. Wiggins is an all-star. He's playing a phenomenal year this year for Wiggins. You got Jordan Poole, who's just underrated in my eyes.
Yep.
Coming out of Michigan, dropped 36. I just think that team is fully complete. Steve Kerr knows how to win. He's won with Jordan. He's won with coaching wise. He knows how to play. He knows how to play with big stars. He knows how to coach big stars. I just think that team's fully, like, they took off everything: defense, offense, scoring. Transition points, rebounding. Draymond's finally back. Now he's gonna wait for Wiseman. You know, Kevin Looney's a solid backup center. Damian Lee can ball. I just think that team's just complete from top to bottom, from management to their last player who gets rotation. I think just that team is just overpowered. Curry's out right now. It sucks. Marcus Smart did it on purpose, but whatever. That's who I think. I think Warriors, fully healthy Warriors team in the playoffs. It's going to reminisce back to the 2015-2016 where, you know, Curry, Draymond, and Klay just take over, and it's going to be fun to watch. What about you?
Yeah, I think so too. As you know, I'm obviously a big Curry fan, so I thought Golden State was going to take it. I know you saw that Curry, he's out. I think it was for 3 weeks, or is it indefinitely?
I want to say a couple weeks.
Yeah, I think it was a couple weeks. So if Curry's not healthy, though, I don't think they could win the championship. So that's one thing for me. Their whole team has to be healthy for them to win. Because Phoenix, there was another report actually as well that Chris Paul is coming back this week. So Phoenix are going to have their full team back, you know, for a few games. And obviously Golden State don't have that luxury. So that might be a big role to play as well, just because, you know, Curry, Clay, and Draymond, since I know they've played together, you know, their whole careers, but it's a different time now. So that game time, it's invaluable at this point. So, and switching over to the Eastern Conference, you know, like you said, there, it's not as convincing as the West in terms of like matchups, but I think who's going to make it out isn't as clear cut, because you have Milwaukee, you have Brooklyn, who still have a puncher's chance. There's Miami, and there's Boston. I don't think Philly's serious. I'm not sure if you've watched any Philly games since the James Harden trade.
I think I just watched his debut, but I've been trying to, like, you know, keeping up with highlights and stats and all that.
Yeah, they're pretty, like, they're not shit, but mind that. But they're not the best. They're not the best team. I do think the trade was kind of blown out of proportion. That, you know, they were gonna be instantaneously like amazing and unstoppable. They're still good, but I think they have a lot of work to do. And because they don't really have that third star, who's supposed to be Tobias Harris, but I don't think Tobias Harris is that type of guy. They're going to struggle. And I think their deficiencies will be highlighted in the playoffs. Right now, it looks like they're going to play Cleveland. And because Cleveland is very young, they may have that advantage over them. But moving into the later rounds, it might get difficult for them. You know, if they play against a Chicago or a Celtics, they may be figured out. But what do you think?
I still have them making the Eastern Conference or even finals. I think
Philly.
Wow.
Wow.
I think they have the pieces they need. obviously they lost Steph Curry, which was a big part of their team. That was their whole pretty much shooting. You know, Danny Green can't shoot anymore. I don't know what happened to him. But I think other players have stepped up. Like Thibodeau stepped up to the plate when he needed to. Great two-way guard, or two-way, you can call him a two-way forward as well. You can play shooting guard or a small forward. You know, Harris hasn't been stepping up to the plate as he should be, knowing that he's that, you know, third star, you say, on the team. But I think he just got other players around that can just pick up the slack. Obviously, they have – what do they got? No, I was going to say Andre Drummond, but they don't have Drummond. He went to Brooklyn, and that's right. we haven't seen what Paul Millsap has done yet.
Chill, Millsap's ass. You can't even –
I know. But we haven't seen what he's done yet. We haven't seen him in court a couple of days, as long as we should. I think Embiid, as I said, Embiid knows how to play in playoffs. He has experience. I think he even gets – sometimes even gets better. I think he improves when he's in the playoffs. He loves the crowd. He loves the audience. He loves the noise. It's just Harden. Can Harden step up? We saw him when he played with Houston. The furthest he went was the second round, I want to say the West Finals. We know Harden's not, you know, that much of a playoff player. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see much of him last year due to the injury in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now he has someone to bail him out if he needs to with Embiid down low. I think, you know, Doc Rivers knows how to win. Obviously, he's won He's won with Boston. He's had chances after chance in the Clippers. But I think he's the right coach for this team. I think their bench, you know, they lost a lot of their bench in that trade, but I think their bench still is still good enough to compete. You know, as long as Embiid can consistently drop 30 plus, which he can every game easily. And like Harden's just that support guy if he needs someone to kick out to or someone to carry the rock for a bit. And then once they're both off taking rest, you know, Thibault, Harris can step up. Tyrese Maxey can step up. You know, if they need Millsap, which I don't think they would going to rely on him as much. You know, Millsap can still pull the trigger from three if he wanted to. But yeah, I just think that team's well coached. They have the depth that they need. They have the two players that they can run the ball through. And then they have those side options if you need to. And Tyrese, you know, Tobias Harris, Thibault on the defensive side of the ball. I just think that team right now they're shaky. I think they're still trying to get used to the whole, okay, we got Harden, how do we fit him into the system? But they're soon going to figure it out, definitely before the playoffs. But I think the only thing that has a real chance of stopping Philly, I'd say, is like Milwaukee, a fully healthy Milwaukee team, a fully healthy Brooklyn team with Kyrie actually playing every game. And if they get Simmons back, I'm hoping for a Philly Brooklyn finals series. Conference finals, I want to see that, especially the crowd. I want to hear that Philly crowd for Ben, and I want to feel that Brooklyn crowd for Harden. That'd be a great series. I think it goes seven. I think it goes Philly. I just think Embiid's hungry. I think he wants that championship so bad, and he knows that this is one of his best chances he has in his career so far. He has a guy who can shoot. He has a guy who can get him out of clutch situations if he needs to. Obviously, they're not playing it like it in the regular season. You know, they lost yesterday in a close match, but they also blew a lead against Toronto. They were up like 20. I don't know, but they were up to 25 at the end of the third or first. But it's gonna be interesting in the playoffs. But I don't see them really having a challenge if it's Brooklyn or Milwaukee. I don't see them having a challenge in the playoffs.
I think Brooklyn and Milwaukee still are the favorites. Do you think Milwaukee would beat Brooklyn in a seven-game series with everyone healthy?
That's including Simmons is ready to go and playing.
Yes.
Man, everyone's healthy on
Milwaukee. Yeah. So they have Brook Lopez back. I think he's the only one that's missing. Yeah.
I think they do. I think Giannis just has the ability to take over a game whenever he wants to. As long as Middleton and Holiday can hit their shots and they can be productive, on a fully consistent Milwaukee team, they're unstoppable. But obviously that's rare. You know, Middleton has his games where he goes off and he has his games where he doesn't. Same thing with Holiday. Same thing with Lopez. You know, Bobby Portis pops out whenever he wants to. I think they're just a really inconsistent team besides Giannis. But if you get a fully consistent Milwaukee team for seven games, They run through anyone. Against Brooklyn, I see it going seven, obviously, just like last year. I think they get the edge. I don't think they have anyone to stop Giannis. I mean, you could put KD on him on the perimeter, obviously, because he's tall and he can block shots. But strength-wise, I don't think maybe you throw Drummond on him. But, you know, Drummond's not known for defense. He's known for rebounding. Throw him on him just because he's a big man. He's built, but I don't know. Stopping Giannis on the fast break or transition, there's no way. You can stop him on the perimeter if you put KD on him. KD can, you know, same height or even taller, he can block shots. But if he goes down low or if he tries to drive past KD, he's getting past him every time. I think Drew's an underrated defender on the outside. He's a great two-way guard. I think him and Kyrie would have a good matchup. Obviously, Kyrie's going to cook him on some plays. And I don't think Holiday doesn't have that offensive onslaught that Kyrie does. So I'll give the edge to Kyrie there in Brooklyn in the point guard position. Now, are we having KD play small forward or are we having KD play power forward?
I think it'd be what? Kyrie, Seth Curry, Ben Simmons, Durant, Drummond. So he'd be playing power forward. But he wouldn't be guarding Giannis. He'd probably be guarding Chris Middleton.
Okay, so Simmons at the three.
Yeah, Simmons at the three.
So Simmons is probably picking. So, I don't know. Kyrie on Drew.
Yeah.
Shooting guard.
Seth on.
I don't even know. I think Grace now has been playing that in that starting five for a bit. Maybe I was gonna say DiVincenzo, but he's gone.
Yeah.
You throw a Pat. I'm just gonna go off what they used to have, and I think they had Allen playing that too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Seth Curry and Allen. You have a dirty player on a shooter, so we'll see what happens there. So I mean Simmons is guarding Giannis.
Yep.
Okay. I still don't think anyone in the league can guard Giannis one on one.
I agree.
So I think you can pair him up anything. I think Giannis wins that. Middleton, KD. The thing is, like Middleton's arc, when he shoots his arc, he has no arc. It's a very low arc. It's like literally straight to the basket. So KD's blocking that all day. KD's blocking it all day. KD's locking him up on the perimeter.
The thing is, I feel like what they might do is Giannis will guard Ben Simmons, right? But you don't really have to guard him. No, so Giannis to. might just be in help every single time. Yeah.
Giannis will be double teamed on KD.
They'll double team KD.
Yeah, KD drive right there.
And exactly.
Giannis has the ability to switch off real quick and get back to his player if he needs to.
Exactly.
You saw it last year. Yeah, it was last year. Last year in finals against Phoenix. How he switched off on the double team of I want to see who threw the lob. I think
Paul.
Switched off that assignment and then go right back to the rim in time to block the Aiden. So I don't know. It'd be tough, but I think Milwaukee ends up winning that game seven. I just think in the clutch, I think Giannis. Obviously, he's not going to shoot it. I think he's just going to get to the basket, draw a foul, and hit his free throws. It'd be close series. I'm hoping we see this in the Eastern Conference Final.
Yeah.
But obviously, and I think Philly's gonna make it there. So, if it's a Philly Brooklyn or if it's a Philly Milwaukee, I think out of those three teams, you'll be seeing one of those three teams in the finals, conference finals. But I ain't gonna sleep on Miami as well. They're playing great in the East. Especially Oladipo's back now. Adebayo is playing, you know, he plays his way.
He's finally turning into that scorer that they need him to be.
Butler's just that leader on the team. He can do anything both sides of the ball. Lowry's the pure point guard. He's a true point guard. And then Oladipo can also be a two-way player if you need him to. And then they have Hero, Duncan Robinson, PJ Tucker. He's got that experience. A team's solid. They have a solid coach. They have a solid owner, solid GM. So they're also a team that's top to bottom from management to the last player in rotation.
Uh-huh.
Solid team. But can they get over the slump in Milwaukee? That's the thing. They did it before 2 years in COVID. They did it before. They beat Milwaukee. But you saw that the next year, they got swept in the first round. So,
yeah.
Can they hang the big teams when it comes to playoffs in Philly or Brooklyn or Milwaukee? So,
yeah. I think the big reason why they got exposed last year was because they didn't have a point guard. Like, Jimmy Butler was doing everything, initiating the offense. So they were kind of easier to guard on offense, because if Jimmy Butler didn't get going, they weren't going to win the game. So I think now, you know, with adding, you know, championship pedigree like Kyle Lowry, Tyler Hero is like coming to his own. They have more options and more weapons. And then obviously you add in, you know, Oladipo as well. They have more options and weapons now rather than just going to Jimmy every single time, or Jimmy or Bam. So, but I do think matchup wise, because Giannis obviously is going to guard Bam, Drew on Lowry, and then you can throw Middleton on Butler to bother him. It's still in Milwaukee's favor, but I do think that series will go more than four games. And I really hope it does, because if they match up again and Milwaukee sweep them, that's scary. That's going to be scary for the league.
Yeah, it will. I think we're going to switch over to the pitch now. I think the big game yesterday was the El Clasico.
Yep.
Watch that game with Sergio. I lost another $10 there, let's just say that. it was just a poor performance from Madrid. You know, Barca was all over them from the start of the game to the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Possession wise, just very, it was, you remind me of like 2010s Barca when they had Iniesta, Xavi, Messi, just passing the ball in the midfield. Just tic-tac-toe. It was clean. They knew where that pass was going before he even got the ball. They knew the red Madrid like a book. I had to get up and leave in the 60th minute. I couldn't watch it. It was game over. Aubameyang played it phenomenal. You know, it sucks that as we're Arsenal fans, we get to see him shine in Barcelona. Overall, it was a great game for Barca. You know, the young guns really played well. Pedri played phenomenal. Ferran Torres played phenomenal. The whole team clicked. It looked like you know, Champions League Barcelona all over again. So, I know I watched the game. It took me 60 minutes to leave. I don't know if you watched the game.
I saw the highlights. Roma didn't have much highlights, so it was it was very one-sided. I really enjoy watching, you know, Ousmane Dembele play, so it was good to see him out there, you know, causing havoc.
Cook Nacho.
Yeah. He had no chance, to be honest. And like you said, from the first minute, they were ready to play, and Real Madrid weren't ready to play. I know they were missing, obviously, Benzema, but it's all classical. You shouldn't need, you know, one player. One player is not really going to win you that game. It's going to take a team effort. Uba's doing this thing over there. I think, what is it, 10 games, 10 goals that he's played? Or is it eight games, eight goals, I think. But But I mean, that league is suited for his style of play. They have the players that, you know, maximize his ability. So I'm not even mad that Uber's playing well. I think it worked out well for both teams. Arsenal are better off without him, and he's better off without Arsenal at this point of his career. So yeah, good luck to him.
Yeah, it should have been, you know, 4-0. The scoring doesn't tell the whole story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It should have been like 7-8.
Yeah.
Aubameyang could have had a 4. Could have scored about like probably two or three in the first half. Obviously, you know, he finished with 2. Torres could have had one, a scream in the first half. You know, it could have easily been a whole different ball game if, you know, Barca capitalized on every chance, which they basically did. But yeah, that scoring doesn't tell the whole story. 4-0 doesn't explain, doesn't tell how bad Madrid played. They're lucky they lost 4-0. Could have been a lot worse. It should have been about 4-1 if Vinicius Jr. Would have shot the ball, but don't know what happened in the box. It was a horrible touch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he was pleading against. He fell over the own ball. So that was the biggest game of the day yesterday. Doesn't matter about Premier League or Tottenham winning 3-1. Who cares about the Spurs? I don't want to talk about them. You know, Arsenal picked up a win, 1-0 against Aston Villa.
Big win.
Should have been more convincing. I think a team against Aston Villa, we should be up, you know, 3-4-0. You know, Saka scored. He scored a 2,000 goal. Leno played well.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I label Arsenal. We have 2 keepers I feel comfortable with. If one's out, and Leno and Ramsdale. You know, but we're slowly closing in on that fourth, you know, clinching that fourth. You know, we're 3 or 4 points ahead of Tottenham. But we're slowly solidifying that fourth place in that Champions League spot, and I'm excited. A couple games left. Again, we still have a couple games at hand. But, you know, I said we were going to capture a point against Liverpool. Obviously, we didn't. We lost 2-0. Just, you know, a team like that, there's not much we could do against Liverpool. They just overpowered us that game. Salah was amazing. So was Diogo Jota. Thiago played well. Not much I can say on Arsenal side of that game. Besides, maybe, I don't know. I just feel like Martin Odegaard just plays well every game, but, you know.
Should have scored in that Liverpool game, though.
I watched a couple of it. After they scored the second, I was like, yeah, it's over.
Yeah, it was. I wasn't surprised. I think we played a lot better than when we played them the first time. Or no, when we played them in, I think it's the Capital One Cup. Those 2 games, I think we played a lot better.
Or is it the that. Was it League Cup in the semis?
League Cup, yeah, in the semis. Martinelli had a brilliant game, caused havoc against Trent. Trent could not keep up with them. Every time Martinelli got the ball, I knew Trent was shook. So it was good to see that from Martinelli. He should have scored as well. I think it was late in the game, like 80th minute.
Yeah.
That side foot. It was just unlucky. It was unlucky. But
tried to put me in the corner.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that Aston Villa game was big for us. We really needed that win. I really liked the way we defended in the second half. I wish we scored a couple more, but we held it down.
When's a win?
Yeah, man. We held it down, and we gave ourselves that cushion that was much needed. Now we get like a 2-week break. So I know we don't play a lot of games during the week, but, you know, a 2-week break is kind of big. But we do have a lot of our, you know, starting players that do go away for the international break. I know Martinelli got a call up for Brazil. Saka, Smith Rowe, Ben White, Ramsdale for England. You know, you got your regulars with Xhaka, Partey, Gabriel. So at least the team will still be playing. But that break, I don't know if the break came at a good time for us, you know. We've been playing really well. That unity has been strong. And I kind of wanted to keep that momentum going. But I guess we'll have to see what happens when we get back.
Yeah. It was actually usually once we have a good form going on, like we did, then once we lose one game, then we hit the slump.
Yeah.
It was nice to see, you know, a bounce back win. We got back on our own team feet. We bounced back. We played well against Villa. Should have scored more goals, but it was good to see us not take that Liverpool loss to heart and really just, you know, bounce back. We focus on the next game. You know, we treat every game like it's, as I say, treat every game like it's a Man City or Liverpool. So, because that's the beauty of the Premier League. Any team can beat any team. So, as you saw with, you know, Crystal Palace tying Man City 0-0. Southampton gave Man City a little run for their money. So any team could be any team. Doesn't matter. Any given Sunday or any given day. And that's the beauty. That's why I love watching Premier League. Any team can pull the upset. It's like watching March Madness every week. You know, upset after upset. So, you know, speaking of March Madness, I don't know if you have your bracket.
I don't have a bracket, but I have been watching a lot of the games.
Yeah? Do you have your team, you know, which team you got lifting that trophy at the end of the tournament?
I like the way Michigan is playing. And I also like the way – I watched the Duke game. Was it 2 days ago?
Yeah, Duke against
– Michigan State? It was Michigan State.
That was yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, that was yesterday. Yeah, I watched that game. So I liked the Duke game. So I'd say Duke or Michigan for me. How about you?
I have Arizona winning it. They almost got upset. Almost got upset. You know, the next game Michigan has is Nova, so that's gonna be a close one. I know Sergio talks about it because. Brings up Jordan Poole all the time in Michigan, but he has Nova. But I don't know. I feel like, you know, Duke, I wouldn't be surprised if Duke wins it just because, you know, I think they're playing for Coach K since it's his last tournament.
He has, yeah.
He has 99 wins in the tournament. One more win, he reaches the milestone of 100. So, but I just think Arizona's got a dominant team.
What do you think about Gonzaga?
The Zags are scary. Like, not in a good way. like, I get they have Chet Holmgreen. I get they have Drew Timmy. But, I don't know. To come clawing back from 25 points or, you know, against a team that they, you know, the Zags are ranked, like, number one in the world right now.
Yeah.
They should be running teams over.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. I don't trust them. I had them winning last year, and they blew it for me.
They
usually have a good team every year. They're kind of like, you know, everyone expects them to win now. I don't know. They're just one team you can't trust. It's just like you can't trust Kentucky anymore.
Yep.
You can't trust Kansas anymore. You can't trust Duke anymore. See, the teams really that are really starting to shine later in the last couple of years are. You know, Arizona's been coming out strong a couple of years. Baylor, UCLA, you know, Alabama, Ohio State, they're coming out strong now. You know, you don't really think of those schools as basketball schools. You think of them as football schools. But even though they're both out, you know, Houston's always been has been a consistent fourth or fifth seed every year. Every year I see them in the bracket, it's always a fourth or fifth. Iowa State. Iowa, you know, Texas Tech, Tennessee. But yeah, you know, the big teams like Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, you can't trust anymore.
It's not as clear cut as it was before.
Exactly. And I love a Cinderella story, and St. Pete's is doing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if they go to the Final Four, even if they go Elite Eight. We don't know. I think it's going to be like that Loyola Chicago, then one of those runs.
Yeah.
Where they made it to the Final Four. Or was it Elite Eight? I think it was Elite Eight. But yeah. I just think Arizona's, you know, I think they have a complete team. But I wouldn't be surprised if Duke does. Michigan usually has a good year every year. So
yeah.
It's the best tournament in the world.
The excitement, the unpredictability. Yeah, it's.
I love
March. March Madness is crazy. But yeah, I think that wraps it up.
Yeah, it's been over an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Good discussion. You know, we didn't get to LeBron James's second all time, but probably get them next week. Him chasing Kareem for the top. I don't think he does it personally, but we'll see.
This season, or you mean in general?
I don't think in general. I think it's
he won't catch Kareem.
No,
he'll catch Kareem. He will.
You know what? We'll save this discussion for next week. You know?
He will.
That's a little sneak peek of what's next week.
Yeah.
In the Sports Battle episode 20, the big 2-0.
Yes, sir.
Maybe we'll bring on a special guest. Maybe we'll have a better spotlight. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned. You know, just look out for Tuesdays at 2 p.m. You know, have it on your calendar, ready to go. I've been your co-host, Jackson.
And I've been your co-host, Michael. Thank you for listening. I will see you next week.
Yes, take care.